Thomas Stanley. Oh, Canada. We are going to get to that story in just a few minutes. I love Canadian stories. It's Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth on the Saturday Night Special. If you are a frequent listener to the Saturday Night Special, you know that typically Amy focuses on one particular topic. And tonight we are going to shake it up just a little bit because we're towards the end of the year. And because I can. So it's Mixed Bag Saturday Night, also referred to as the Bubala Bonus Hours, stories that I didn't get to necessarily when I was filling in for Matt Bubala from 1 to 5 a.m. Really, really neat stories that, but again, it's kind of a mixed bag, just a whole bunch of, it's Grab Bag Saturday Night. That's what it's called. Hi, David Jennings.
Hello.
How are you?
Sorry, I had to put my headphones back on.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, that is good to hear. I haven't seen you in two weeks.
You know, hey, this is good.
Okay, we will be having dinner. We've not eaten yet. We, a whole bunch of us. So that's going to be happening.
As you bring enough for the whole class.
Well, that's the whole point.
Okay, just checking.
Oh, no. No, I'm excited. This weather today is amazing. It was 40, I think 47 out by me. Ro is producing tonight. I got to meet Ro. She's delightful. This is exciting. Welcome aboard.
She's one of the newest members of the family.
Yes, we brought in three kids.
They're new in the family.
Why is Ro screaming from the building? I don't understand what just happened. So welcome to WGN. How many shows have you produced for us thus far?
One.
Okay. So now welcome to your second.
Thanks.
This is your sophomore show.
Moving up the ranks?
I know. You're very quiet on my board. I will fix that for you. But we will have Ro on with us talking, learning a little bit more about her. But she's going to be manning the phone lines at 312-981-7200. And also that is the text line. Did you know that, David Jennings? People can text and call in.
Of course.
Same. I know, 312-981-7200. Very exciting. So many good things. But we are going to talk about coming up right after this break. I'm going to get to break. And then we are going to talk about this Canadian story. It's so Canadian. So Canadian.
Yep. Had to get out in the boot.
Out in the boot. We've got a... Yeah, I love this story. Hannah Stanley.
I needed to borrow your car so I could go out in a boot.
Out in a boot. And go to ice fishing, and I had the swampers, and then I just made a mistake. Eh? It's so good.
Ice fishing is so weird.
Oh, God. We could.
Have you ever driven on a frozen lake?
Well, no.
I did. I've done it. And I'm like, you sure it's not going to crack under us? And it's like, nah.
And you're judging.
It's been frozen for a few weeks. I'm like, okay.
You're judging the sobriety of the person who's driving and whether or not they actually really like you and who they will try to save first.
They were letting me drive.
No. That's not ever good. That's.
I'm just like, it's the idle speed is just carrying this SUV over the lake. And I'm like, okay.
No.
Looking over, it's like, do I see any spikes, little things coming out of the... No?
I lived in Michigan when I was little. And so I remember, like, the age of 5 or 6, I remember people ice fishing and seeing them out in their little...
The shacks?
Yeah.
And it's the weirdest thing.
It just, to me, seemed like that's something that you could do other times of the year and enjoy it more. I don't know.
No, you can only do it in the winter.
Well,
you
can fish.
It's bitterly cold because it's freezing. It's the only way you can put a little shack out on the
ice.
But
you can actually...
Have your music with you.
No, here's the thing that's cracking me up about that. They have heaters for these little shacks.
I know.
But you're sitting on ice.
Uh-huh. I would not be sitting on ice. I would be sitting on something between me and the ice like a chair.
No, I would be sitting... on a barca lounger in my house.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be on the lake fishing.
No, I'd be sitting. I'm sitting here in the Allstate Skyline studio getting to broadcast because we have heating in this building.
Yeah, that's kind of a minimal requirement.
That's just, you know, I enjoy heating.
Look, I got past baiting my own hook, all right?
I can do that.
So can I. It just isn't pleasant.
No.
I didn't find it so the first time I did it, but it was like, well, you got to learn sometime. Okay, fine.
Because if you feed a man to fit, or if you...
If you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a day. If you teach him how to fish, he'll be able to eat for life.
Right. But if you teach a man to fish on the ice, he's going to freeze, and then there's less need for food. So we are going to take a quick break. Hannah Stanley filling in again on the Saturday Night Special for my friend Amy Guth. More after this. Just enjoying the music, jamming out. Hannah Stanley here, filling in tonight for Amy Guth. We've got so many good things coming up. I'll be with you guys until 9 p.m. and then Dave Hoekstra will take over. From what I understand, there's a lot of musicians coming in tonight. So many. This is a game that Dan and I used to play. Dan Long, who was just producing for The Beat, but also produces for Dave Hoekstra. Dan has produced for Hoekstra for a long time, and when I used to be on regularly, he and I every week would play the how many musicians are coming in game. And I am going to guess 12. So you can tell me. You said the over, so I went a little high today. But I'm guessing it's 12. So we'll find out later if we how we rank on that. By the way, 312-981-7200 is the phone and text line. You guys can call in and text in. Ro is producing tonight. David Jennings doing news. So Dateline Canada. Dateline Nova Scotia, Hammonds Plains, Nova Scotia. This happened just this past week, two, three days ago, as we would say in the Chicagoland area, not in Canada, eh? On December 9th, Halifax District Royal Mounted Police responded to a 911 call of a vehicle having been stolen from the parking lot at a business on Hammonds Plain Road in Hammonds Plain. None of that matters to us. What matters is the fact that a car was stolen and it was reported stolen 6:30 in the evening, Nova Scotia time. Nova Scotia's east, right? So that would be East Coast time, I believe. So 5:30 our time. Motorist reported they had parked beside an identical vehicle to what they were driving, entered a business, and when they came out, their vehicle was gone. As it turned out, another motorist had departed the business. Doesn't this sound just slightly like my cousin Vinny, where there were two cars that were close enough, but then that story went south. But anyway, as it turned out, another motorist had departed the business, climbed into the wrong vehicle, and drove off. Not a stolen vehicle. I guess it was a stolen vehicle. It was mistaken vehicular identity. That's what that actually was. A short time later, they discovered they have driven off in the wrong vehicle. However, prior to the realization, they had filled the vehicle up with gas. So not only were these vehicles identical, but apparently they both had a limited number of liters of gas, in their vehicle. So the second driver, who was mistakenly driving the first vehicle, put petrol. Is it petrol in Canada? I know it's petrol in Europe. So we'll say they put gas in the car. Multiple liters of gas. It was returned to its owner, and the motorist was reimbursed for the fuel they had placed in the other's person's vehicle because Canada. That is not a story that would occur here. Here, they would say, you took my car and you're going to court. And Dan Long just popped in. He was doing hand gestures to me earlier. Like, not rude. That sounded bad. But you were parked next door to our building and your car was vandalized. Right? There you are. You found a microphone.
My mic.
Yeah, I don't know. You're not up on my board. I don't know why not.
I don't have headphones on. I can't hear. I'll run in there.
Okay, come on in. So Dan is going to tell us the story of how his car was vandalized, not in Canada, and how that, are you on two, three? I don't know. It's new studio. New studio. Who this? Okay, there you are. Dan Long, producer extraordinaire.
Correct.
Longtime producer, first time guest. So you were parked next door to our building in a building that will remain nameless so that people don't get freaked out about parking there.
Right. Well, it's not my responsibility to protect anybody else's reputation.
Yes. But
yes, that did
a little
happen.
Bit mine. They broke your window. I saw this posted on social media.
Yeah.
Did they steal anything or they just broke it for the sheer joy of breaking it?
Oh, no, they broke it for the sheer joy of stealing things.
What did they steal?
Well, dummy me had a duffel bag on my, so they got my old dirty gym clothes.
Good for them.
But then they went through my center console and they stole my wallet.
Dan Long, why did you not have a wallet on your person?
You know, you get into bad habits.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that no longer is a habit, I'm assuming.
No.
In Canada, they would have taken your wallet by accident, brought it back to you, and said, I noticed that the Velcro was a little shoddy. I've purchased you a new one.
That would have been nice.
So here in the States, I don't foresee this, although this really was just mistaken vehicular identity. They didn't intend to steal the car. And they were kind enough. Here's what's funny about it. The guy, we'll say person B, takes off in vehicle A, right? Wrong driver. Then goes to the station and fills it with gas, realizes that's not his playlist, right? I don't know how he would realize all of a sudden he's like, why is my Navi taking me to the wrong address? Oh, shoot, this isn't my car. Drives back, where I'm guessing some sort of police report was being written out.
Sure.
And goes, oh, here. And by the way, I filled it with gas. Instead of freaking out, losing their mind, person A, owner of vehicle A, then pulls money out of their pocket and reimburses person B, who had driven and filled up vehicle A, with money.
See, that's a nice Canadian.
It's so Canadian.
Grand Theft Auto.
That's why I'm guessing that game's not super popular up there. Where else could that story take place? Florida? No.
Certainly not, no.
Absolutely not. What other country can you imagine that happening in?
None.
None countries. I don't. David Jennings, have you heard this? Ro, I can't hear you. I don't know why I can't hear you. I'll fix this. Dan, can you come over and fix the board, please, so I can hear Ro? I really don't know any other country that has such a reputation of nice.
They're far more low-key than we are.
Is that what it is?
Among other things.
But they're just so polite.
Well, like I said, they're more low-key than we are. We tend to get angry fast. And we act out on it. They, on the other hand, seem to be able to take a lot more stuff in stride than we seem to be capable or willing to.
Is that a local thing or is that an American thing?
Just a wild guess. I think it's an American thing. I don't think the Brits are as quick to...
Because I think in the South, it's a little bit more chill.
And the South has other ways of telling you off.
Yeah, they have like fake nice down
there.
Well,
aren't you sweet?
Yeah, like or bless your little heart.
Bless your little heart.
Bless your little heart.
Aren't you sweet?
You're just so sweet.
Oh, that's just precious. Yeah. Uh-huh. That sounds like so much fun.
That's the low-key backhand that you don't see coming across your face.
Bless your heart. No, but honestly, I feel like this could have happened in some smaller municipalities in, let's say, the South. But it's just, I mean, as soon as I heard the story, I was like, well, obviously this is Canada. There's no other place on earth where I feel like they would have been like, oh, sure, you drove off with my car, eh? No problem. Here, let me reimburse you. Thanks so much for bringing it back, eh?
Fresh hot cup of Tim Hortons waiting for you in the cup holder.
How good does that sound? None of those stale, day-old donuts we got sitting out on the counter. Oh, Tim Hortons sounds really good. So good. We are going to take a quick break. Tons more to cover. Mixed Bag Saturday. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth. Thank you to Dan Long for participating in that. I am sorry, but you brought it on yourself by keeping your wallet in your armrest. That's all I'm saying. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on WGN. More after this. Digging the jazz. Would we consider that jazz, bro?
Yes.
Yeah? All right, so we'll call that enjoyable. Tonight, filling in on WGN until 9 p.m. for Amy Guth. Thank you to Amy Guth for letting me fill this seat. People, one of my greatest joys in life is stadium hot dogs. I love them. They make me happy. I go many different stadiums. I've had many different stadium hot dogs. I'm going to think twice now based on this story that came out this past week. 2 days ago, ESPN, our friends over at ESPN, went through ESPN's Outside the Lines, reviewed more than 16,000 food safety inspection reports from 2016 and 2017 for the 111 professional football, baseball, basketball, and hockey venues in North America. I earlier said that did not include Canada. I am mistaken. Our friends at the Winnipeg Jets, that would have been included. The study found at least... the study found that at 28% of the venues, half or more of the food service outlets incurred a high-level violation, one that poses a potential threat for foodborne illness. Oh, people, we here in the radio industry are no strangers to the potential for foodborne illness. If you ask any of us who are sitting here right now, we will tell you that there is tiramisu sitting on the counter in the kitchenette that has been sitting out unrefrigerated since yesterday morning when there was a station festivity that was occurring, the winter party. We are smart enough to know not to eat that because of foodborne illness. But when you go to a stadium, when you think about the fact that it is... what, a quarter to a third likely that you are putting yourself at a venue, not the stadium necessarily, but at a vendor or at one of these facilities serving food that has potential for foodborne illness? That's kind of shocking. That doesn't make me, that's not designed, literally designed to, not designed to make me feel good. So here in Chicago, which is what we're probably all wondering, boy, we have really, really good food. Over the past few years, we've gone from like Wrigley Field makes a huge deal out of their food service, food offerings every single year. All of the new food that they've brought in, the United Center, both for the Bulls and the Blackhawks, of course, our beloved Blackhawks, they have made a huge deal, really incorporating a lot of very high end restaurants, having kind of a pop up location at these facilities. So these are restaurants that are putting their reputation on the line by having these smaller smaller stations within these stadiums. After they've reviewed these 16,000 food safety inspection reports, the Chicago venues, Soldier Field fared the worst, ranking 91st out of the 111 facilities that they were ranking. So we are way down in the bottom quarter at Soldier Field. With 59.2% of high-level violations per inspection. Let's just round if we round, it's 59. But if we round to the closest tens place, that's 60%. It's still 59. Let's just say it's 60% of my children are in are here in the building, and so now my son is going to be like, "Mom, you're still rounding wrong." That is close to 60% of high level food violations per inspection. Guaranteed Rate Field was next at 87th with a 55.8%. Rate. Wrigley Field was 47th. At least they're in the top half. Actually, yeah, no, Guaranteed Rate Field not in the top half. Wrigley Field in the top half of the 111 venues. And the United Center had the best rating in Chicago with 11th. So they're in the top 10% of all of the stadiums in the country with a 10% violation rule. Here's what I'm thinking, though. The three venues that fared the worst in Chicagoland are all what? Outdoor venues. That would be incredibly more challenging to control food temperature, rodents, bugs. I mean, we've all seen the bees flying around when you're watching a baseball game, probably a football game, depending on the weather. Not so much inside the United Center. Maybe a random bird because of the loading dock.
Yeah, but don't they all have like an inside kind of kitchen area going on so you can control that?
They should, for sure. And each of those locations within are going to have the ability. So let's say you're going to like a hot dog place, right? All of those hot dog water is supposed to be at a very specific temperature. They need to keep the food product at a specific temperature. Because we know, you know, it's not like we're going out for a luxury dinner. They're not prepping it for me and me alone. That food is pre-prepped. I used to always joke that I would never buy a hot dog in the first like month of a season because it was last year's buns. I don't know that that's actually accurate, but I was like, don't they always taste a little bit stale in April? It's not good. Maybe it's because it was still 35 degrees and I'm trying to watch baseball and those buns were frozen. 312-981-7200. Have you had a bad experience? Have you seen things? Have you worked at one of these locations? Because that is a lot, 60% high level violations at Soldier Field, especially with it should be cold most of the time. And, you know, so I'm at Soldier Field. I want something nice and warm. And you know, Guaranteed Rate Field, of course, they've got the stadium club. Lovely. Might or might not have had my wedding reception there. I did. Harry Tynowitz was there, who was just on the air. Harry Tynowitz gave part of my toast. It was all, I'm a radio person. I had a multi-dimensional toast. Rokan gave the other part of my toast at my wedding reception. That's a whole thing. We were all at different radio stations. Now we're all together. We were all at the time it was U.S. Cellular Field. But that was fun. And the food was tremendous. And I did not get ill afterwards. I don't remember ever having a bad food experience at any of those places ever. But I can tell you were the best hot dog I've ever had in my life. Not a Dodger dog. Nathan's hot dogs at Yankee Stadium. Delicious. Ro, are you a big sports fan?
I am not a huge sports fan, actually. I grew up in a house full of girls.
Well,
so
that's okay. You can still be sports fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't gender stereotype here.
Okay. I'm going to have to get right into it, though. But the last game I was at, I still remember, it was a long time ago, I was like 9 or 10. My dad took us to a game. And I still don't now, but I refused to eat the hot dogs then.
Why?
Because the little boy in front of me had a hot dog and he threw up right after.
No.
Yeah, he took one bite of it and threw up.
No, this is a story you should have been sharing earlier. This is what we're talking about. Now, the thing is, it's highly likely not a cause and effect. He ate the hot dog and then got sick.
Right.
Little kids get sick all the time. He could have gotten sick for some other reason. But him getting sick in front of you, of course, would have turned you off to eating hot dogs.
Yeah,
I get that. I get that.
One.
Totally understand. But Grayson, who's my son, one of the two children who are here in the building right now at the station, he loves going to different baseball stadiums and wants to go to all of them. And my husband and I high-fived each other when he declared that that was a goal of his life, because we thought, yes, yes, let us do that. We should totally go to all the stadiums. And so I actually kind of make it a thing where I definitely walk around all the stadiums. I look at if I can walk the entire circle at like a baseball stadium, some of them don't let you. You have to walk to one end and then you have to double back.
Hmm.
They're like, no, no, you can't walk above center field. That's just crazy. I don't know why. So, but I do. I walk around the stadiums. I walk on multiple levels because I do want to see the different food options, especially like in, you know, up at, it's not County Stadium anymore, but up in Milwaukee, they have different stuff than we're going to have here. Maybe a lot more cheese focused, a lot more sausage.
Favorite stadium ever, and a lot of Chicagoans are going to hate me for this.
Yeah, it's all right.
But Cardinal Stadium?
Okay, Busch Stadium down in St. Louis.
Yes.
All right, why?
The whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about experience earlier, but Busch Stadium has an experience like none other. To go there and literally be able to do anything. At one moment, you'll see people in there watching watching a boxing match,
mm-hmm.
and then the other people are outside drinking and enjoying whatever baseball game is going on. It's great. Plus, there's plenty of bars and
is a whole neighborhood. It's very similar to what they've taken Wrigleyville towards now. So you're absolutely right. They really made that into far more of a destination and an experience outside of just the baseball game, where Wrigleyville definitely had it going on for bars, but it really wasn't the whole like, let's go hang out at the park.
Yeah, it's not the same feel
as it is now, right? So completely agree with you there. The other thing that they do that's really neat is if you go on the brewery tour at Anheuser-Busch, you can then take a shuttle to Busch Stadium for the game for free. So you go on the brewery tour, or you park there, because they're not making you go on the free tour. Although it's very interesting and lovely, and you see the Clydesdales. But then you can get on a shuttle; it's free, and they take you downtown and take you to the game. Super neat.
I wish I'd have known that. I lived there and had no idea.
You stick with me. We are going to take a quick break. I want to hear those texts. I know the phones are ringing. So we're going to get your calls and texts coming up after the break on best stadium food experience, what's been going on, where you will never eat again, what you saw, where you worked. 312-981-7200. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth, talking about this groundbreaking, earth-shattering ESPN stadium food report. More after this on WGN. Hannah Stanley, we are back here on WGN. It is me filling in tonight for the lovely Amy Guth, who will be back with you guys next week. I need to check and see if the Blackhawks are playing next week. 312-981-7200. We are talking about this report that came out. Outside the Lines, that's what it is. ESPN Outside the Lines went through 16,000 some food safety ranking reports, etc., ranking where you are safest and least safe. Here's what's earth-shattering to me that they buried in this story. The fact that these inspections take place at the beginning of the season, March and April, for baseball. So these are not necessarily actively being cleaned, run, serving food when these inspections are taking place. And they've been going through a very long off season. Now, one of the things that they talked about most at all of these venues is the quote unquote black slime in ice machines. Folks, I can tell you, having hosted a food show for a long time, having gone to a lot of restaurant, behind the scenes situations, cleanups, etc. Black slime and ice machines, not uncommon. That is, a lot of people never order ice, don't have ice on an airplane, don't get ice from, good God, don't get ice from a hotel vending, like one of those ice machines at a hotel. No, 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 my friend. That is going to be scary. Lots of black slime. Lots of it. And it's because of the condensation that develops. And boy, it's just a breeding ground for all kinds of stuff. We've got John from Milwaukee who is going to be on the line with us in just a second. Again, keep those texts coming in. But again, inspectors found 20 critical violations throughout Wrigley Field. The worst violation, workers handling money and then not washing their hands before touching food. Right? I know Ro is making a face. You are making a very valid face.
There be cocaine on some of them bills.
Oh, now, well.
At the least.
Well, that, I mean, that would maybe.
And where people put money.
Now, see,
and I don't mean your wallet or your pocketbook.
No.
And we all know.
In my shoe.
And I was thinking something a bit more closer to your heart.
Yes. That could be a sweaty place for some people. But you don't want to get pickpocketed in the summer. John from Milwaukee, you're saying Guaranteed Rate Field is the best. Talk to me. Tell me your experience.
Oh, I have to. That's my bucket list too. Me and my friends, we've been to 26 ballparks all around the country, and we plan on getting to more of them. But so far, we're at 26.
You've collected
and
a lot.
And every time we get a chance to go to Guaranteed Rate Field, I keep calling it U.S. Cellular on mistake, but every
you
time we go
both.
To Guaranteed Rate, we look forward to that place just for the food, not the game. We go there for a patio party, especially.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, the Bertucci brothers and the food they have there is fantastic. And then when we get to the park, we can't help from getting the food out on the ballpark, too. We walk out of there. Actually, we roll out of there. And we look forward to and I'm comparing it to anywhere in Boston, New York, Colorado. I mean, anywhere. I mean, that is by far none the best we've had so far. And I'm not even saying that as a Sox fan. I'm saying it as a baseball fan.
All right. No, this is interesting, especially because you're north of the border, eh?
Yes.
Not Canada. I want to stipulate.
You're
in Milwaukee, but. It's interesting. A lot of people, especially around here, will say how great, and I always say County Stadium is, up in Milwaukee, where the Brewers play. I had a good experience dining, a terrible experience service-wise up in Milwaukee. I think they misstaffed it. So the lines were 20, 25 minutes just to get, you know, a sausage. So for me, that wrecked the experience.
No, I love our Brewers, but you know what? I do not like the food as much as I like it when I go to Chicago and go to U.S. Cellular. I mean, I'm sorry, Guaranteed Rate.
No,
I can't get in the habit of saying Guaranteed Rate.
U.S. Comiscular, that also works. No problem. We don't care. But I will tell you, it was a big reason why I chose to have our wedding reception there was because of how delicious the food was. I knew those people. I knew they weren't going to mess it up. The Stadium Club folks. But I loved all of the different food experiences we had had. And I will tell you, David Jennings and I have been in the United Center suites before. David, what is the best part about being in a suite?
The dessert cards.
John from Milwaukee, I wish you could come with us. We'll see if we can get you involved in one of those with us. Anytime we're able to go to the Hawks game and we get invited to the suite, we're like, sure. Oh boy, there happens to be a baseball game. Oh, but look, there's a dessert, a hockey game. But yeah, there's also a dessert cart. We just stand there and ogle at it. It's the greatest thing ever. John, thank you so much for your call. And I appreciate we appreciate your north of the border support for our White Sox stadium.
Thank you very much.
You have a good Bye-bye. Night. Thanks. I agree. I think it's delicious. But I really will tell you, I'm going to be watching very, very carefully next time I go to one of these stadiums. One, because of how the vending is happening. I bet, though, usually these safety inspections and these, reports where they're like, this is so bad, so bad. What it really makes everybody step up their game, pardon the pun, but step up their food service. This is going to be something that everybody's going to be paying attention to. So maybe we'll all be safer after this. You know, like Jack in the Box had a really bad thing happen with food poisoning several years ago. People lost their lives. That is now one of the safest places you can go to eat because of how many different safety precautions they have put in as far as food temperature and how they handle all their food. So maybe this is actually going to be a good thing, not just for the Chicago stadiums, but hopefully for all of these 111 venues. But man, let's step up the food service according to John. Everybody's got to step it up to keep up with how delicious everything at Guaranteed Rate Field is. We are going to come right back and get you guys to the news on the other side of this break. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth. We'll be back on WGN right after this. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth on WGN. I get to be with you for another hour, and I'll turn you over to news in just a second. But we were talking about the stadiums and their safety, their food safety. We got a text from 773. I'm guessing that they used to work there because they said that a lot of times the stadiums cook hot dogs that don't sell. They recook them the next day. Not sure if they still use the old hot dogs after a road trip because they're not clearly not making enough money. They gotta pinch pennies. I will be rethinking my food choices. Oh, it's Christmas time, which means holiday spirit and joy and happiness and so much family stress. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth. I am so excited to be with you guys always. But in the spirit of the 12 days of Christmas, we're only 10. We're at 10 days right now. T minus 10 days. I guess technically 9 days because today's almost over, right? So we've got 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. We've got 9 days of shopping left. Unless you were smart and said, let's just celebrate Christmas on like the 27th when everybody's off. And then you go out and do all your shopping on the 26th when everything is super crazy on sale. That's smart. My family did that one year. This is true. We were all sick when I was a little kid. We were all sick on Easter, like super sick. Best Easter baskets we ever got the following Sunday because my mom got all of them at like 75% off. And the Easter bunny had stayed away from our house because sickness, because you can't jeopardize all the other kids. So she had stayed away. And my mom was like, well, I'll just go buy the Easter baskets and take care of it. Amazing. The Sun, our good friends at The Sun in the United Kingdom. We talked to Fred Weintraub last night, who is our worldly fellow. He was over. Currently, he's over in London. He has been in Singapore, where he's now based most of the year. Then he was in London, and then he will be back in Chicago next week. But we were talking to him about so many different things in the UK, including what's not actually anarchy in the UK, but Brexit. So that's up on the podcast on WGNradio.com if you want to hear the latest from someone who is in London about what's going on with Brexit. And boy, is that so much craziness. But our good friends at The Sun have posted the 12 feuds of Christmas. In the spirit of the 12 days remaining of Christmas, it is the 12 feuds of Christmas. Let me ask you this. 312-981-7200. Text in, what is the fight you guys always have? Always. These are really, really solid. Of course, this is Britain. This is they're going to be a little bit different than ours. But the top 10 causes of a sleepless night or a fight at Christmas time are going to be overindulgence, stressing about preparation, drinking too much. Those are the reasons you're losing sleep and stressing out. Now, if you're stressed, you're going to be more likely to be arguing. The top 12 fights of Christmas. Political conversations. No, that's never, that's never heated. Everybody knows you don't talk about politics. Everybody. Even if y'all agree. Political conversations such as Brexit. Who won the board game? Have you ever had a fight over that, Ro, in your entire life?
No, we're a lot more competitive in my home. So we just decide that if we can't
if you
play
can't
in harmony, we're not gonna play.
Okay, so do you play board games at the holidays?
No, we create puzzles. It keeps the stress down.
So you actually do like jigsaw puzzles?
We do.
Oh, this
one's
big,
the huge ones, the ones that usually take you like 2 or 3 weeks.
Like the 5,000 piece?
Yep.
How do you separate that? Because that's hard. Like, it's if it's one person, your brain's working a certain way, and you're like, I'll just do all the, I'm going to separate it. I'm going to make all of the up pieces. Like, I'll put all of the picture ones up on top, and then I'm going to do the borders. Look, I found my four corners. How do you guys do it if there's a whole group of you guys?
We separate it by color, so every party picks a color. And you put all your pieces in your side, and then we figure out where the center is and go from there.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I need to come to your house. I wouldn't. Okay, good. That's great. Staying off the phones at the dinner table. That is a top 12 feud of Christmas. I feel like you can avoid that one if you just go, it's Christmas dinner, not so much. Phones go over there.
That's where the millennial thing comes into play, because nobody in my house cares. As a matter of fact, my mom's on her phone more than anybody. So if we're yelling at anybody, it would be my mom.
I do try to have the kids off of their devices, and me as well. I'm guilty of it because sometimes, like, especially if I'm coming into work, I'm, you know, like looking for articles, booking a guest, whatever. So there's sometimes, but my husband usually is getting home from work, so he's finishing emails and replying to other people. So it is something that we all do, multi-generational. But we had my niece stay with us for a while, and I wouldn't let her eat until she put her phone away.
That's a good way to go about it.
Yeah, I was like, no, we're done. You put that phone down, teenager. Now I'm a little bit more lenient because I do it too. What time to eat Christmas dinner? Here's where I could see, right? Because it seems like if you're cooking it, you're in charge. So you'll be eating Christmas dinner when I say. Here's where I can see that this turns into drama, is when you got multiple locations that certain family members are going to be at, right? So you've got grown children who are married, and they're maybe going to their in-law's house, and the in-law says, we're doing it at noon, and the original family says, but we're doing it at 1. Fine, we'll move it. Now everybody's jumbling, and that causes some stress. I get that.
I think the only time that you should be arguing is if somebody's praying too long. like the food is cooked. We don't need a 30-minute prayer.
That's like me at church on Sunday, where I'm like, I get it. Can we end the sermon? Thank you. It's football on. We got to go. Yeah, I get that totally. Curtis, I don't know if you know Curtis yet. Curtis just texted in, and he said that they eat at 4. Do you fight about it, Curtis? Text me 312-981-7200. How long to spend at relatives' houses? That sounds like a little bit ties in with your prayer issue. Like, we're done. I'm so over this. People arriving late? That just seems like everybody needs to relax. How much alcohol to drink? I don't feel like how much is ever the conversation. I feel like how much has been consumed is the concern. That is, like, once you're already imbibing and you're like, you need to cut that off, then that turns into a fight. Here's one that I didn't even think about. The temperature of the house. How hot it is. You know, I went and visited my great aunt Susan, who had terrible heart problems, and she kept her house at about 106 degrees. It was so hot. And there was no air movement. It was like sleeping in the bottom of a cup. Nothing. It was terrible. But I knew it was because she needed to be comfortable because she was elderly and whatever. But oh my God, that was just terrible. It was terrible. What film or TV shows to watch? All of these are just kind of normal arguments. Who washes up? Yeah, that just sucks. Nobody likes to do that. My sister has five kids. She just uses paper plates. That's what she does all the time. What time to open presents? There's no need to fight about that. No need to fight about that at all. Christmas morning. That's what time you open presents. Right? I don't know. Or when people show up.
I mean, it depends on the family, I feel like. We always open our presents.
If the present is from grandma, wait till grandma comes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Like, if I'm sitting there and I gave it to you and you want to open it, then, like, that's when you can open it. But if grandma's not coming till 4, you got to wait. We're going to go to break. 312-981-7200. We can continue taking your calls and texts on this topic. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth. More on WGN right after this. Hannah Stanley here filling in tonight for Amy Guth. It's the Saturday night special. Tonight we're calling it the Saturday night grab bag. Lots of different topics. Lots of different fights happening during the holidays. The Sun in England, the British Sun, they posted the top 12 feuds of Christmas. We've gone through several of them. I want to know what your fights are. Of course, politics. We got a text from 262 referring to politics. And of course, yes, people just steer clear of politics. Also, you know what else you want to steer clear of? Sports. That can get so ugly. Not good. You got a Cardinals fan sitting at the table with a whole bunch of Cub fans. No good. No bueno. We want to steer clear of that. You can talk, like, if everybody's Hawks fans, you can all talk about how great the Hawks are and how, you know, they're turning everything around and really starting to find their groove. That's awesome. That's always good. Listen to WGN. Got those Hawks games for you. Here's the thing that we don't fight about, but it probably causes the most stress for me, is how much I'm spending on each person. Here's the thing. Do you have a budget for people or for specific people, or do you find what is appropriate?
I have a budget.
Right.
Because everybody in my life is like super expensive. So you don't go past 50. Until I start making big dollars, 50 is the cap.
No, 50 is very generous. 50 is super generous. I mean, as far as like nieces, nephews, etc., once my sister had like her third child, I was like, we're done. We got it. Like, we're capping this. I'm doing birthdays only because I am in the poorhouse otherwise. The thing is, like, sometimes you find the perfect gift on eBay and it's like $5. They don't need to know that. But just because I spent $5 on the perfect, but it's the perfect gift. Maybe it's super collectible. I don't know. But I don't necessarily need to go spend that extra, let's say $45, because this is the perfect gift. But then there's other times where you're like, oh man, she'd really love it. But it's like $85, and that is really expensive. So that is where I have problems, because it does add up really, really, really fast. And I want to be generous. I want to give people gifts that demonstrate how much they mean to me. And that is probably going to send us to another topic. The fact that people don't remember the gifts you give them. That. David Jennings, do you remember the gifts you got last year for Christmas?
Not really.
Did you remember any of the gifts you got last year for Christmas?
Just a couple of things I got for myself. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what I got you?
You have to remember, I'm single.
Uh-huh. Do you remember what I got you?
Ooh, no.
Good, because I did not. So I just wanted to see if you were a liar. I did not buy you a gift last year for Christmas.
Okay.
We're like the Pat Sajak and Vanna White of the station. We don't buy each other presents.
Okay.
All of the years that Pat Sajak and Vanna White have worked together on Wheel of Fortune, they have never once exchanged gifts.
That's kind of sad.
Not necessarily. When you're making Pat Sajak Vanna White money, you can buy what you want.
Well, that's also true.
So why would they exchange presents? And Vanna does all that knitting. Like, I don't think that, you know, Pat needs a sweater because it's Southern California. There are people at home going, man, she knows a lot about Vanna White. It's true, I do. I love Wheel of Fortune. But no, so you and I are the Pat Sajak Vanna White of the station.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Dude, if
or
we
something
had their
that
money.
Should scare me.
I don't know, but if I could make Vanna White money just touching letter screens, I'd be super okay with that. New research shows that more than half, 53% to be specific, of the gifts people received last year have already been completely forgotten. How do they know if they've forgotten it? How do they know?
Maybe there's a survey. Maybe they're like...
I'm guessing you're like, so they gave me something. The gifts aren't just forgotten, they're often unused. In fact, 1 in 6 gifts received will never be touched or used again. After January 1st, the study found, I can tell you, I promise you, my father-in-law has things in his closet that we gave him years ago and he's never touched. Because we've seen him, because we've gone in the closet. Because I'm like, I bet that water filter is still sitting there.
Well, my brother did give me a wonderful merino wool sweater. Like a polo sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't wear it, I think, for maybe 3 or 4, didn't but use it for 3 or 4 years because I hadn't grown big enough to fit it yet.
Oh.
But once I did, it was like, oh, this is cool.
So he was just expecting you to gain weight.
Well, he was expecting me to grow.
Oh, okay, good.
He guessed wrong on the size, but eventually I did fill it.
Oh, okay.
So.
See, I was like, well, that's sort of a backhanded gift.
No, it wasn't.
You're
backhanded.
Not...
It was one of those things where it's like it got used later.
It got used. So you did utilize it, you did enjoy it, you did appreciate it.
Yes.
It just took a while to get there. So yeah. Many of these
people who gave me cash when I was a kid, that was wonderful.
Cash is great. Did you remember, like, grandma gave me $25 last year?
No, but there was a standard rule. You must write a thank you note or say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anyone who gave me cash got a thank you from me.
A robust thank you from David Jennings.
Yes.
Future newsman.
Yes.
Yeah, that is what they're saying. Gift cards, of course, are one of those things that are great. So easy, super easy for the recipient as well, because they can then choose. But it's actually one of those things that kind of falls by the wayside. A lot of gift cards don't actually get used if they're to a location that the recipient does not choose or does not frequent.
Yep.
Like, thanks so much for Lowe's, but we've only got a Home Depot in town. But also...
Or the Lowe's is on the other side of town requiring public transit, and it's like, okay, how am I going to get whatever I get back home?
Exactly. You can resell those. You can sell those on eBay. You can sell those on...
Aren't there a couple of companies that will buy your gift cards from you?
Yes, for a portion.
One of them is based in Chicago.
See, we're so smart here. So yeah, a portion of
well, I think
pretty
we
high
both,
portion.
I think we both know one of the one of our producers works for one of those companies.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
is that Roe?
No.
Who?
We'll talk later.
Okay, good. Well, maybe we need to tell the listeners. We'll put that up in the podcast. But yeah, so 1 in 6 gifts received will never be touched again after January 1st. 1 in 6. So the gift cards feel good. Because they probably will get used more than maybe a unicorn that poops glitter slime, which is another thing. That is the hot toy of the season.
What?
Uh-huh.
You're kidding.
Uh-uh.
You'd better be kidding.
Nuh-uh.
That's not cool.
It is a plastic toy unicorn that you put in a powder and some lukewarm water, and it creates some chemical reaction that poops out unicorn glitter slime out of a heart-shaped hole in its booty. My children are giggling incessantly. Even they think it's ridiculous.
I can hear them. It's great.
Seriously.
I love it.
No, they're like, my daughter who's 8 is going, that is so stupid. Yeah, no, I'm just sitting here thinking that is going to be the hot toy of the season. And then that is going to be the hot stain in the carpet.
Do you remember the name of this toy, though?
Poopsie. Isn't it Poopsie?
Yeah, Poopsie Surprise.
Poopsie. Yeah, I'm telling you, the surprise is going to be the next morning when you step in it. It's going to be, not only is it going to be like bad, poop is bad enough to step in the carpet if you've got a dog or a cat, but holy mama, it's glitter and it's slimy. And according to the review, because I was like, I'm like, I got to see about this. Apparently, it's kind of challenging. It doesn't always come out properly.
There's so some, Poopsie gets constipated.
Poopsie gets constipated. We're going to go to break and let my children stop giggling. You know what? When we come back, we're going to actually let producer Grayson, my son, my 10-year-old son, found a story today that he wants me to talk about. And it's actually really, really good. We're going to talk about that next. Hey, Bears fans, enter for your chance to win 2 spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun at chicagotribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune. More after this. So the news, by the way, was sponsored by the main chimney and fireplace. So thank you to them. I wonder what we're talking about next. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on WGN Radio. I get to be with you for the next 23 minutes. I hate when the shows go so fast. I really, really like getting to talk to you guys. 312-981-7200 is our number for both calls and texts. You can do both. We have Ro, who's reading your texts for me. And of course, I'm answering. Ro's also answering the phones and putting you through to me as well. Grayson, my son Grayson, who is 10, almost 11, knew I was, and he's here with me tonight. Both my kids are in studio with me tonight. But he earlier today said, Mom, I have a great topic for you. Let's talk about Metra. Here's the thing. Grayson has wanted to talk about Metra since he was like 18 months old. That's one of his things. In the world of little boys, they choose dinosaurs or they choose trains to like. And Grayson opted for trains. So we've been having these like train weekends and train visits and train searches and going and like taking videotapes of Metra trains. And I used to commute on the train every day. The UP West Line out of Ogilvy. This has not been a great week for Metra. Not at all. There was a fire aboard one of their locomotives this past week. There was a man who, not Metra's fault, was hit by a train yesterday or the day before and lived. So that's a win. But really, what they're doing is trying to supplement their fleet because the fleet is aging. And these trains are super expensive. It is not like we can just, you know, take a quick loan, go to Train Max and get something. So what they did in trying to grow their fleet and replace some of the trains that they've had, they've purchased multiple engines resale. They bought some used Amtrak locomotives. They bought this year. Metra bought them. The problem is the EPA raised the environmental standards for pollution and emissions from these trains. And Metra has been grandfathered in. The locomotives that they have been grandfathered in because they couldn't do anything about it. So the EPA a few years ago said, look, we have to raise the standards because we need to protect our workers. We need to protect the locations that you guys are going through. And we need to protect the passengers. Except Metra bought nearly 24 used locomotives because new trains cost too much, says the CEO. And they don't meet the new emission standards that the EPA put into place in 2015. The upgrade by the EPA was meant to cut pollution by as much as 90%. And as I mentioned before, most of the equipment, including recent purchases, is grandfathered in to environmental regulations that are decades old. most of the problems, the Milwaukee District North locomotive fire that happened on Monday, that's an old engine. Heritage Corridor passengers, those, they all had a 3-hour delay because of it. 21 replacements Metra purchased were being sold because Amtrak didn't want them anyway. Look at Ro, you people, I wish you could see Ro's face. Ro was like, oh, girl, that is what Ro's face just said.
I am an avid Metra rider.
So am I.
Let me tell you. It's a mess. It's a mess. And they're supposed to be cutting down on the express trains now because of this,
because
right?
Because of it. Because they get up to higher speed. Yes.
Ow.
Problem were the workers who work on these trains every day, all day. The commuters who are on the train sometimes 3 hours one way based on an issue like they had earlier in the week. Dirty vents and diesel fumes for Metro trains have been an issue that people around this area have been talking about for a long time. Passengers, when they've done studies, passengers are breathing in particles that contain iron and steel. Uh-huh. Iron and steel. Metro passengers. Let's say you're on 2 hours a day minimum. Some people are on an hour minimum, right? But that's kind of the shortest distance, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes one way. My route minimum is like 50 minutes at a minimum, and that's if I'm in an express train. Minimum, one way. But let's think about also not just the passengers who are breathing in those fumes, but let's talk about the houses along those routes where we've got freights going by who are definitely grandfathered in, where we've got the Metro trains going by, possibly making the stops, possibly idling, right? Where those yards are. There's a yard in Melrose Park on the West Line. There's a yard out in West Chicago, I believe, on the West Line. Those people have got to be breathing in all of that stuff too. So the only way to get all that cleaned up in the short term from the environment, per the Environmental Protection Agency, is to get modern new locomotives. But one of those, guess how much, Ro, guess how much one locomotive is? New modern locomotive.
$750,000.
$7 million. Yeah.
Okay.
I went Dr. Evil just then. $7 million. $7 million. That is why. Here's the thing. Volkswagen just paid a huge penalty for violating the Clean Air Act. And the Illinois EPA has announced that Metra will receive $14 million from that settlement. So let me get this straight. We have a car company that violated clean air. So now a train company is going to get money. This actually, okay, now I actually, this sort of makes sense because we're, by putting more commuters onto trains, we're putting less cars on the road, less car emissions, but $14 million in settlement, that's only two locomotives. We got a gazillion trains going around. It's a start. It is a start. Hannah Stanley filling in for Amy Guth. We're going to take a quick break, come right back, and wrap up the show, get you guys turned over to Dave Hoekstra. More after this on WGN. For Amy Guth. All of a sudden, I just wanted to do like Venus Flytrap, like, with you until the evening hours. That was just a little bit of mellow. Hey, you guys are in for a treat for a Hoekstra show coming up, Nocturnal Journal. They've been practicing in the performance studio, the band. Hey, is Dan Long? Dan Long, there you are. How many people? How many musicians? What are we talking? Lower. We're under 12. 12 is my guess. We thought we were going to be at 12. Here comes Dan. Dan's going to talk to us about who's coming up on Nocturnal Journal.
Yeah, I think I misled you before. I told you to aim high. You said 12. And so we got a six-piecer.
Oh, times two. Two different bands? No?
No, just one. Just one.
All right.
Chicago Soul Review coming up.
Nice. That's like the Blues Brothers Blues Review. What is it?
Well, they also do, you know, I mean, think of Chicago Sound. Sharon, what's her name? Why don't we stop? What if we stop paying taxes? What's the artist's name?
I don't know. This is where you're. We'll talk about that later. You just jump right in when you remember it.
Curtis Mayfield, you know, oh. Chicago, you know, the Chicago Sound. The
I worked,
sound.
You know what? I worked with Curtis's, Curtis Mayfield's son. I did. He was super fun.
The Dap Kings.
Yes. So Chicago's super known for its comedy scene, its improv scene, all of that. Pat McGann right now across the river doing comedy at the Sheraton. There's great comics at all of the Zany's locations tonight because I was checking out the lineups. So many good comedy stories happening in and around Chicago. Amazon, everybody's favorite smart speaker. I don't have one of these. Do you have one of these, Ro? An Amazon or a Google?
I don't trust Alexa.
I barely trust Siri.
Hey.
And she lives in my pocket.
All I'm saying is Alexa's always listening. She's like Big Brother.
So, yeah. Yes. Right now, my cell phone is going, I don't know if this is a good topic choice. But here's what we're going to get to. The Amazon Echo was not there at a comedy club. This happened in San Francisco's Mission District a few weeks ago. Someone placed a stool in front of the stage, also not peculiar, draped a red cloth over it, and placed what turns out to be an integral part of the evening's performance, an Amazon Echo, not there to tell jokes, which might or might not have been funnier, depending on who was performing. It's actually not really a very good comedian. By the way, neither is Siri. If you ask Siri to tell you jokes, it does. The timing's off. Instead, it was both a prop and participant in a unique improv show called Alexa Improvise. Now, for those of you at home with one of these smart speakers, I apologize if your smart speaker is now improvising for you because of what I just said. The integration of artificial intelligence of comedy have, of course, been attempted before. The New York Times reports that earlier this year, Peter Mirowski, a senior research scientist who built an artificial intelligence system called Alex, which is artificial intelligence experiment, whatever, to help him do improv skits. Whatever happened to just like a pad and paper? That's how I write down my sketches, my jokes. We have a lot of current and former comedians who work here. Lots. Steve Cochran, John DeCasse, Brian Noonan, Patty Vasquez, many, many. Bill Laff. Good Lord, Bill Laff. Me.
Think you got something on Alexa?
I'm putting myself in that category very tentatively compared to the decades of experience of the other performers, the other hosts here at WGN. None of us have had Alexa write jokes for us. I guarantee it. Not how that works. But Peter, this guy Peter, as reported by the New York Times, he fed the system lines from various movies and programmed a neural network so it would analyze what it heard and spit out a response. At first, program didn't work so well, but after further guess what? My system doesn't always work so well first time out either. At first, the program didn't work well, but after further collaboration with fellow researcher, Alex was able to at least stay on topic. So he had to mature past his like stream of consciousness phase of his teenage years, this artificial intelligent joke teller. Despite that, much of the comedy seems accidental, especially when it says things that are inappropriate or odd. So this improv team called the Fun Room in San Francisco came up with this idea called Alexa Improvise. And the Echo began beeping, flashing a blue red ring light, but failed to respond. She doesn't know how to do that. And that's why they'll be doing that part, the improv team. Just a prop. It's not actually doing stand-up. How far away are we from that, though? I wonder.
I don't think we're very far from that at all.
I don't think so either. But like they were saying in this article, it's so much of it is incidental comedy, right? When you ask Siri, like, all these questions, and then it comes back with quick retorts and things that, you know, hey, Alexa, can you find me the nearest Starbucks? And, you know, and then it's like, how many bucks, you know, are in it? Like, it so many times it just comes up with these very bizarre mishearings.
I give it a good like 5 to 10 years before Alexa's having a full-blown conversation with you back and forth.
I wonder if that's even that far away.
No.
And
it's
does
already
it,
there.
All right, so you don't have one. David Jennings, do you have a smart speaker?
No.
All right. And is it because
you don't want one?
Are you afraid?
I'm.
And I don't mean that like rudely. I am.
The problem with the advances in technology is that the law has not kept pace with them. And we also don't know how much of what these devices will hear.
Or what they're doing with it.
Well, I was listening to a tech expert, and he raised the point. You know, you see that a refrigerator is now internet enabled. Mm-hmm. All right,
not mine.
Now, why you would need one, I don't know. But if you think that the company that made that refrigerator specifically set out to come up with the hardware and the software to make that happen, you're probably wrong, because what they did is go to another company that already had such a thing in existence. Mm-hmm. So they just buy the black box and they put it in the fridge. Now, you don't know what kind of security was built into that black box. Can someone hack your refrigerator? And if they do, what can they do? Can they listen to what's happening in your home?
Probably.
You know, wasn't there a story about a law enforcement agency that wanted to get access to an Alexa that was in someone's home because it may have heard a murder?
What? I don't know this story.
I'd have to go dig for it, and I don't have the time to do it right this second.
No,
but
no. That's interesting.
But Alexa does hear when even you don't think it's listening to you.
Well, and we know that this is accurate because when, like, if I say something to my kids about a Disney movie, right? The next thing I know, when I pop onto the internet on my phone for something, all of a sudden, all these Disney games pop up, these commercials, right? Not necessarily for a movie, but like, wouldn't you like to buy this Mickey Mouse for, you know, like, so it definitely listens and then streamlines what it thinks you heard, it heard you talking about, into what ads are being shown to you.
The case in question was in Arkansas.
Okay.
They wanted access to audio that might have been recorded on an Amazon Echo.
Did they get it, or is it still in the courts?
The murder charge was dropped in that case.
All right, so then now they don't need it. But there, one of the alleged terrorist incidents in the past few years, I know Apple went to court to protect that suspect's content on his iPhone. Because not to necessarily protect that suspect and that content, but because of the precedent that it set for giving authorities and other people access in the future. And really, that's a good legal fight to fight, albeit a bit off base in that particular story, but there's reason for legal precedent. And
there, well, there you raise a larger question, mm-hmm. which is, in Europe, you as the citizen own your data. Whatever information a company collects in dealing with you, like if you're a user of Facebook, in Europe, it's seen that you are the owner of your own information. Here, it's not.
Here we thought we were until Facebook
got
all weird.
We never were.
Okay.
The company, whoever you're dealing with, like a Facebook, mm-hmm. any... I've seen on some of these 60 Minutes shows, they've done demonstrations of when you go to one website and you think that's all you're doing, you will discover that there are four or five or six other entities that are also looking at you, seeing where you're going.
You know, there's a promo about a show on this very station talking about Wi-Fi, and when you walk past stores, that these locations are actually kind of digging through your data if you're getting on their Wi-Fi. So they're already figuring out what you possibly are looking for, what your possible interests are.
Remember
what your demographic.
Remember the Tom Cruise movie?
So many of them.
Oh, the predict. It was about future crime.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it.
But you know what? Remember the...
Yes.
One of the scenes in the movie, he is walking through a shopping mall, and the ads, other people are walking by, and they're seeing not the same ad he is.
Right.
But the ad it's directed to him specifically.
We're already there. Look at how we got on this great topic all about Alexa doing comedy. Guess what, though? We have to go... Do we have a break, Ro?
Alexa will never be that funny.
Alexa's never going to be that funny. I'm going to hit a commercial really fast, and then I'm going to turn you guys over to David Jennings for the news. Hannah Stanley, hold on, please. Stand by. You guys, it has been my distinct pleasure to get to talk with you for 6 out of the last 20 hours. Hannah Stanley filling in for Amy Guth. Thanks to everyone. Thank you to Ro. It has been a pleasure to get to work with you tonight, and I look forward to doing so in the future. You guys, hear the sounds that matter. The top 5 at 5 from the Ro Khan Show with Andy DeFlantes. Weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.